Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're here wherever you are listening in from. And I hope that you have joined in on our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. This is a journey that I have invited you to as our community together to really invest in our parenting journey. It is consistent practices over time that are going to see the most gains. So you think about planting seeds and every day watering them, putting them in the sun, pulling weeds, and over time, if you have confidence in those seeds that you have planted, they will grow. And the better that you take care of them, the better your chances. And that really is what a parenting journey is like. It is not growing a chia pet. We don't just put a little bit of effort and then the next day see all of our problems solved and everything better. And I'm here to tell you, parents, that the best thing that we can do is reflect on our attitudes, our heart posture, work on past hurts that we have experienced. These things will pay dividends in your relationship with your kids. I promise I've been there. I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. I started out as a very timid and not very confident mom. And if you've read my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide for Parents and Teens to Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, you'll know that my opening scene is a fight I was having with my 13-year-old and how we have gone on to heal that. And I'm sharing all of those secrets with you. So if you're just joining in, welcome. If you are in for the journey, great. Here is your little accountability check to make sure that we're all on the same page. Are you praying somehow, some way every day and giving yourself grace when you don't? I am still keeping my prayer journal, writing in it at least once a week, and it's already just in a month to look back and see the ways that God has answered some of my prayers has been really, really helpful. Are you memorizing scripture? Are you plugged into a local church? Are you listening intentionally to Christian music? And are you practicing vitamin G, gratitude? These things are all important. And I have been saying many, many times that these habits can be stacked. So you can listen to worship music that incorporates scripture, that reminds you and prompts your heart to gratitude. You can find my playlist on Spotify at Dr. Nurse Mama. I have a gratitude playlist there that, I'm going to be honest, has been on repeat for me together because anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist in the same space. Now, we can wrestle with that pretty quickly back and forth, but gratitude really does protect our hearts. And we know this from scripture because in everything, not for everything, in everything, give thanks. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that is where we are. And we are already at week six. Can you believe it? We are in week six of the year. And this week's habit that I'm introducing in detail today in this first segment is listen with your face. All right. Now, everywhere I go, I get a lot of response to this. This really resonates with people. So hang in there with me, whether you are a new parent, whether you are an experienced parent, if you're a grandparent, or if you ever talk to any human being ever, this will be helpful to you. So in my book, again, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, although this is certainly applicable at any stage, I have a communication model in here that I adapted from a professional tool that I use in clinical practice called motivational interviewing, and it's how I'm able to talk to kids. I have learned how to do it. Doesn't mean that it's easy or that it's not awkward at times, but the first step of this model, which is called LOVE, L-O-V-E, that L is listen with your face. And the truth is, in today's world, too often we try to listen with our face in our phones or looking around at anything because Instagram Reels, TikTok, just pretty much any digital media has trained us to have about a 90-second attention span. I find this myself. It's really hard to pay attention for long periods of time. And so we find ourselves distracted. How often have you been at a kid's baseball or sporting event or a school event where you look around and you see the tops of parents' heads who are more engaged in their online life that's happening than the real life that is happening right in front of us? And many of you, if not, I'm sure all of you, have had an experience where you're trying to talk to someone and it doesn't feel like they're listening. So let me throw the dads under the bus here. We're about to have Super Bowl season, although I know there are some very enthusiastic women's sports fans too. You'll see me like that during baseball season. But let's say you're watching the football game and you're trying to tell your husband something and he says, "I'm listening, I hear you," but you don't feel heard. So what do they do? Usually they'll parrot back everything that you just said to prove that they are indeed listening. Does that ever make you feel better? I'm going to say, no, it really doesn't. We still, what we're thinking, what we're feeling is that I know that you heard what I said, but I don't feel heard. I don't feel seen. I don't feel known or understood. And if you find yourself saying that, "I am listening," that should be an internal clue for you. That should be something where you really tune in. That's a red flag for yourself. Stop yourself right there and resist the urge to say back, to mimic back everything that they just told you to prove yourself right. And ask yourself, do you want to be right in this moment or do you want to be in right relationship? So this is the habit I want you to adopt for this week. Commit to listening intently, listening with your face. Now, even for younger kids, this is really important. We've learned this from some of the COVID lessons about how masking or covering adults' faces can make it difficult for kids to interpret our emotional state, our nonverbal cues. Well, the same thing is happening if we are not looking at our kids with our whole face or our spouse or, again, any human that you're having conversation with. So I want you to focus on making eye contact. If your child especially comes to you, make a habit of putting your phone down before you give them their face. It's not enough, really, just to look up from your phone. But put it down and turn it over. It's such a powerful signal of affirmation. Don't interrupt or roll your eyes or, you know, sigh and say, "Okay, what do you need?" Try not to convey that you are in a hurry, because in this day and age where we're living at the speed of a smartphone, that's what our kids see. They see that we're in a hurry and I don't really have time for you. I hope this problem is simple. I hope I can solve it quickly. And we're already preparing our answer for when they come. We really act like we're virtual assistants online. Our kids pop in our inbox and say, "Hey, I need help with this problem." And we'll say, "Okay, well, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Please do this. And then take a survey about my service." But a lot of times they need our empathy. They need our face. Now, if you want to take it to the next level, the next steps of that model are to then offer open-ended questions. Don't lead with lecturing, because if we're truly listening, we can cultivate a spirit of curiosity and think, okay, why are they thinking this? How did they come to this place where they're asking me about it? Is this really what they're asking me, or is there a deeper issue? Cultivate curiosity and open with questions. So just open-ended questions. Just, how did that make you feel? Or how are you dealing with that? Or what do you think is a good answer to do? What do you think you should do? The next step is V, validate their feelings. So try to recognize their emotion in that moment. So after you've listened with your face, you've offered open-ended questions, say, "I can see this has you feeling a little scared. I can see this is really frustrating you. And again, it doesn't matter if they're 2 or 20 or 80. All of us can benefit from that kind of communication. And we can a lot of times try to minimize our kids' emotions and because they're inconvenient to us. And we also don't like, if we're really honest, this is stepping on some toes, mine included. We don't like that negative feedback that comes because if my child is angry, if my child is disrespectful, if my child is any other negative emotion, you are signaling to me that, hey, my parenting isn't going that well. Maybe this is something that's on me. I don't like having my child reflect those qualities. This emotion is uncomfortable. I need you to move back to cheerful, respectful, happy so that I can be more comfortable. I did warn you I was going to step on your toes, and I feel that same way too. So we have to remember that Jesus had emotions. He got angry, he got scared, he got tired, he got frustrated, and emotions are human feelings that need to be named and claimed. And even if you disagree, if you think this is not a frustrating problem, just saying something like, I can see this is frustrating. After you have done those three things, you've listened with your face, you've offered open-ended questions and cultivated curiosity, you have validated their emotional presentation at that moment, then and only then have you built an emotional bridge to explore next steps together. And at that point, it might be helpful for you to say something like, I've experienced something like this in the past. Let me help you. Or let's try this. Or have you thought about this? Or what can I do to help support you in this moment? It depends on their age and their stage, but this can be really helpful. Now, for me, as a person in a science profession, I am watching the research emerge on this, and many of you may have heard me talk about this before, but researchers are following a new phenomenon they are calling phubbing, phubbing. That is phone snubbing. It's a combination of those two words. And really, we can find ourselves as parents harping about our kids' screen time while we sanctimoniously justify our own. And, you know, I remember the time that I was lecturing my son about the potential for online addictions, and he listened to me very thoughtfully and respectfully, and he said, well, Mom, Facebook is just Fortnite for adults. You spend as much time and effort there as kids do on games. And that really hurt. But we know that phubbing someone, phone snubbing them, it decreases eye contact. And let me give you a built-in advantage. You may have heard me talk about this too. If you make eye contact with your child or the person you're talking with for 20 seconds or more, it can help to release oxytocin, which is a bonding chemical in our brain. It makes kids feel that biophysical feedback that I am being heard, I am being seen, I am being listened to. And this research shows that even the mere presence of a phone during a conversation can make you feel disconnected. There's that tension of, if it comes up, if that phone beeps, who are you going to choose, me or the phone? Phubbing also decreases our sense of belonging. It negatively impacts self-esteem. It creates discontentment during meals. It even negatively impacts digestion. And when people see you doing that, they think of you as rude and insensitive. That really hurts. So I'm challenging you, our healthy habit for this week. Listen with your face. One of the things I've done as a mom that's been helpful is even when I'm driving, I will pull over in a parking lot somewhere. That's safe, of course. Don't do anything that's not safe. But I will just look at my child and say, this sounds important. I want to give you my whole attention. Make sure that you know that I'm listening. And that right there just goes miles and miles. When we come back, we are going to talk to the host of Hannah's Heart. We're going to talk about infertility and pregnancy loss. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Hi, friends, and welcome back. I'm so happy and delighted that you are here. Listen, in the second two segments, we have a really special treat for you, but I do want to give you a trigger warning. We are going to be talking about issues of pregnancy loss and infertility, and I know that that can be a very difficult, tender subject for many of you. So I just want to make sure that I'm giving you that warning so that you can take care of yourself. And we are going to be talking to the host of Hannah's Heart. Now, Hannah's Heart is a radio show and podcast to encourage Christian couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage. Now, at least 1 in 8 couples struggle with infertility, and more than 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. But there is hope, and there is healing in Jesus, and it airs Saturdays at 5 and Sundays at 11. That's Central Standard Time. Now, yesterday we talked to new moms and the experience of that end of the spectrum, but today we're going to go to that other end of the spectrum, hoping and longing and wanting a baby. And I think it's really important. It doesn't matter if you are listening and you think, well, I don't struggle with that. I promise you, with those statistics that I just read, you know someone who is struggling with this, and we're going to guide our conversation in a way that will help all of us be very sensitive and caring and loving and empathetic to couples and families, because it impacts the whole family who are experiencing that. So I hope that you will stick around and listen and have your perspective widened and think of how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus in loving people who are hurting in different ways. My guests today are the host of Hannah's Heart. We have Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, and they on their show share from their own journeys through infertility, miscarriage, and child loss. And they also interview a variety of guests from all different backgrounds. Each episode is packed with powerful testimonies of God's faithfulness and valuable resources to help those who are hurting. Hannah's Heart is not just a radio show, but it is a community. And Anne and Kendra, we are so glad to have you here to talk about it.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you for having us on. It's fun to be here. I'm honored.
Well, I am honored to have you because, you know, it is so important. Each of us has our own different ministry lens, and there are so many different problems that we can face in the world. But I think that there is such encouragement in knowing that whatever you're facing, that you don't have to do it alone, that there are people who walk before you, who walk beside you, and people who will walk mm-hmm. behind you, mm-hmm. and that we can know that God is faithful in this. And I know that you both have shared your own personal stories, and isn't that so often how God works, is that he uses the pain mm-hmm. and the experiences in our own lives to become a ministry. So I would love to hear who wants to go first. I would love to hear your story.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm Anne. My husband and I started desiring, we knew we wanted children before we ever got married, and we had talked about what that might look like. And Just as time passed by, we started realizing that that would be a little bit more difficult for us. And after a few doctor's visits, that became very visible to that it was going to take a lot longer than what I feel like it takes the average person. But as I've come to know, like, it seems like in today's times, a lot of people are, and not like the average people that I had pictured, you know, like what you were saying, you don't struggle with this alone, even though it seems like you're so alone when you're walking through the trenches of infertility. And that is exactly how I felt when, let's see, this was 2018, 19, 2020, of desiring a baby. And we had multiple miscarriages during those years, very, very early miscarriages, something that the medical field refers to as chemical pregnancies. And so when you walk through that, it's kind of like, have reason, you know, to miss this baby that I thought I was pregnant with, but it's such an early loss. No one knows to grieve that loss with you, you know? Mm-hmm. And even my husband and I grieved those losses differently because it was my body experiencing the loss and my husband was not, you know? And so it was, you know, different playing fields in that too. So that's how we talk about on the show, how it can be so strenuous on marriages as you're walking through infertility and miscarriages. But we ended up adopting through foster care in 2020. And just a little bit of a story of me finally giving that desire of wanting a baby to the Lord. And I remember I was standing at my washing machine one day doing clothes, and I just said, God, you know, if this is what you have for us, is loving someone else's baby, then so be it. I'm okay. And then 3 months later, I have a positive pregnancy test, and Jane stuck around, and now she is my beautiful, fun to be around 2-year-old baby girl. And her big brother, Mark, he is 3 and a half now. He was fully adopted through foster care actually at the end of the same year. So in 2020, we had baby girl Jane, and then adopted Mark at the end of 2022. So very, very grateful for them. And then the Lord just likes to keep us on our toes. And I definitely was already wondering, like, okay, God, Jane might be our one miracle baby, you know. And I was already kind of grieving not being pregnant again, but also saying, like, I'm okay. We have a boy and a girl, you know, like, grow our family how you would like. And then all of a sudden, when we were not expecting anything, no doctor's appointments or treatments or anything like that, our sweet John Micah came into the picture with a positive pregnancy test, actually, last February, February 17th of last year. And a lot of our listeners know that John Micah made an early, early arrival in July of last year, and he lived for about 30 minutes and then is in the arms of Jesus now. And so I'm thankful for John Micah, and it's been humbling to walk this road of child loss in that way. But we have been so blessed as a family, and I have been so blessed just individually through Hannah's heart, with our listeners reaching out and just being there for us during this time of a different loss, and not belittling miscarriages in any way at all, because those miscarriages hurt so bad. But it's definitely a different feeling of, you know, making funeral arrangements and those kind of things for, you know, a baby boy that we got to hold just for a few days.
Well, you know, Anne, I feel tears as you're talking. This is such a tender thing. And it's really amazing to me to listen to you tell your story. And it's one thing to tell a story that's nice and neat and that has, you know, a happy ending and like, okay, well, we had this problem, but then now this is there. But your journey is so reflective of so many women's journeys. There are ups, there are downs. Yeah. It's not linear. Mm-hmm. It's a messy back and forth looping kind of thing. But I will tell you, from all of the women that I have worked with, even in my professional capacity, I worked in the newborn nursery for 20 years and got to see all of the joy and some of the sorrow that came along with that. I will tell you that the thing that I saw in common with all of the women who were okay were the ones that found that place of surrender that you just described and just saying, okay, God, I trust you.
Yeah.
You give and you take away, and I trust you even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it's so hard. And I know that even just from those few minutes and sharing your story, you know, obviously there are so many more emotions there, and that was a long journey for you. But for you to have the courage and the grace to share it in the way that you did, it is just such a blessing to so many people. And I know that cost you something. And I'm very, very grateful for what you've given.
Oh, thank you so much. That's the point that my husband and I just agreed on. Like, if our story, if John Micah's story can help even just one mama or daddy, you know, then we feel like we've used that loss for the Lord's glory.
And that is such a hard place to be, but it's the best place to be. Well, Kendra, what was your story?
Yeah, well, there are no infertility stories that are short, unfortunately.
As
we've had couples on the show to hear their stories, it's always so hard in a 26-minute show to get them to condense it. So I'll do my best to give you the fast version. But I, like many women, always dreamed of being a mama as a little girl. That was near and dear to my heart, and never thought that that would never, you know, not be an option. As I was running and falling in love with Jesus and running after him with all my heart, it took a long time for my spouse to come into the picture. So I was like, okay, God, where's the next step here? I wrote an article for AFA about single and 30. Somebody told me, you're not really single until you're 30 and single. And I felt that because I was 30 when I met my husband and 31 when we got married. And it was worth the wait, single ladies. Let me tell you, do it in God's timing. It is worth the wait. But one of the things, they put you in a category of advanced maternal age if you're over 34, which sounds like you have just one foot in death's door. You know, I'm like, really? I didn't think I was that old.
Dentures.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, let me get out my Depends here. But when I did decide to marry my husband, Eric, he is a paraplegic. He was in a car accident when he was 15 years old. And so part of my saying yes to him was he told me, he said, I don't know how my ability to have children will be impacted by the injury, and just really trusting God. And God, when I was praying about that, I was like, Lord, I want babies so much, and we don't know, like, what about this man? And I just felt the Lord say, trust me. He didn't say, I'm going to promise that you're going to have kids. He just said, here's my hand, trust me. And stepping into, and a lot of people don't know going into, you know, marriage, they don't have something like an infertility diagnosis until then. So for me, I knew that there might be some complications. But as we started to walk through what that looks like and going through being told that IVF was going to be our only option, and having grown up pro-life our whole life, you know, I started looking into some of the typical IVF protocols and really did not have a piece about the process of creating multiple embryos, which, let's just call them what they are, they're precious children created in the image of God, and then potentially not having a plan for all of them and freezing them. And when I kind of was starting to look into how many babies were being created and discarded, we just really felt like there was this slam door of like, well, what are our options? And so for me, infertility was God chiseling off a pound of flesh in my life. That was the tool that he used to help me realize that there were some ways that I had made motherhood an idol in my life. And God said, is there anything in your life that you love more than me? Because we got to get rid of it. And so it was such a painful process, but also I wouldn't change it for anything, because it caused me to have to sit at the feet of Jesus regularly and have so many conversations with him. But long story short, after traveling multiple places, and my husband and I eventually found a clinic that is run by Christians. They're a non-discard facility. So any sort of procedures they do, there are no frozen embryos that are being thrown away in the trash. So we felt a piece about pursuing that and went, saved up money, took side jobs to be able to pay for some of these treatments, had to go 6 hours to spend 10 days in Knoxville, Tennessee, and just felt so positive and all the good vibes, you know, and then ended up finding out that we had a chemical pregnancy. And so we had two little embryos that were transferred and ended up not continuing to develop. And so that just, of course, rips your heart out when you've gone through so much and you feel like the Lord's led you to this point. And it's like, did I mishear you? And, you know, just understanding why it happened and really like Job, you know, having to understand just the sovereignty of God in the middle of intense pain and holding your spouse and crying and just, you know, clinging to what you know about God, his character and his nature, even when it doesn't feel like he's good, knowing that this is the test that, like, I remember thinking, this is my opportunity to prove what I've said for, I've been a believer for so long. This is my opportunity to really prove if I really believe that God is good or not. After a little while, we, you know, regrouped and felt the Lord calling us to try one more time. And that ended up resulting in my little daughter, Eliana Joy. And yeah, she's amazing. She's 18 months. Her name means God has answered. And we had so many people praying for us. And one thing we do want our listeners to know is that infertility affects you your whole life, even if you right. do conceive. And so, you know, we are hoping to grow our family here now again. And so now I'm facing something called secondary infertility. So we're asking for continued prayers and guidance. And our journey is still going. Like when we talk right. on Hannah's Heart, like, we're still in the thick and middle of it, and we share with our audience, we don't know all of the answers, but we know the God who holds them.
That's right. That's right.
That is so encouraging to hear. And again, you know, it's interesting to hear both of your journeys are so similar and yet so different in so many ways. And I can relate to that. I have experienced multiple pregnancy losses myself, although mm-hmm. I have four kids. You know, there are a lot of people who never knew that. And right. during my first one, it hit me very, very hard because I thought, how can this be? Like, I didn't have any trouble. And then how can this be? And it was very emotional. And I became pregnant pretty quickly with my son after that. And I remember one day the Lord speaking to me and just making me realize that if I hadn't lost that first pregnancy, I would not have my son. Mm-hmm. And I cannot imagine my life without my son. And because I know that my baby is in heaven, I mm-hmm. still have a baby that mm-hmm. I will meet one day, which is so encouraging to me in one way that I've coped. Well, when you come back, let's talk about the biblical perspective on infertility. And let's really dive into how can other people be sensitive to those who are experiencing what you have experienced. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to our conversation. Listen, we are having a conversation about infertility and pregnancy loss. So I want to be really clear about that up front so that you can guard your heart wherever you are walking through this situation. But as I said in the second segment, if you're thinking, oh, that's not me, don't turn the dial just yet. Don't turn off the show because everyone knows someone who's struggling. And I am so delighted to have new friends, Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, who host Hannah's Heart, a radio show and podcast to encourage Christian couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage. And they have just so courageously, so graciously, so kindly shared their stories with us. And Anne and Kendra, I want to know how this became a podcast and how it became a platform for you to share, because we were just talking during the break how, especially in this age of social media, we keep our secret struggles mm-hmm. secret, right? Like yeah. all of the junk, the trials, we don't want anybody to know. And we're looking at social media and thinking everything is perfect mm-hmm. and you're jealous of people mm-hmm. you don't realize mm-hmm. are even struggling with the same thing. How did you both have the courage, and how did God lead you to Hannah's heart?
Well, I worked from home for a while doing some furniture restoration stuff. And Walker Wildman, who's part of leadership here at AFA, we're friends with his family. And he gives me a random call, or I think he called my husband one day and was like, "Hey, would Ann want to ever work at AFA?" And I was like, you know what? I need to get out of the house. Because this was in while I was miscarrying, walking through those miscarriages, walking through infertility, mm-hmm. going to doctor's appointments. And it was like, I needed to get out of the house. And so I took him up on the job and started here at AFA. I worked with my friends in donor support. And so I answered the phones a lot and dealt with our donors. And during that time, I feel like the Lord somehow just started leading me to, okay, there needs to be something. Like, I felt like I was the only one in the world who was doing this. I knew of a mm-hmm. few ladies that were older than me, like much older than me, that had miscarried or maybe didn't have babies when they were expecting it, but no one had ever shared their story with me. It was just something that I kind of sort of remembered as I was growing up in church. And so I met some friends here at AFA, and we happened to share a little bit of our stories, and it was like, oh, okay, you've struggled with infertility, and you hate to say that you're happy to hear that, because I'm not happy to hear that anyone's struggling with infertility or miscarriage or child loss or anything like that, but when you feel like you're not the only one in the world mm-hmm. doing that, and you're like, oh my goodness, okay, you feel this way too, you feel crazy too, you're on hormones too, you know, all the things, it feels good to not be alone. And so we kind of just started talking, and I went to Wesley Wildman here at AFA and just kind of told him the idea. I was like, hey, I think this would be a great show, you know, here you go. Nothing, you know, didn't do anything with it. And Wes was like, all right, well, show me what you want to do. And I was like, oh, no, not me.
Not me.
No, I just think it'd be a neat show idea because, you know, the more I looked into it and I started seeing those statistics, the more I realized, mm-hmm. and at doctor's appointments, and you'd be like, okay, I'm not the only one in the room here. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of start realizing there are plenty of people, but no one really talking about it. And so, yeah, Wesley really challenged me. Thank you, Wesley. And he was like, all right, I want to see what your ideas are. So, like, he made me get my stuff together mm-hmm. and kind of started talking to Kendra and to our other friend Jade, who's been on the podcast multiple times. And we just kind of got some ideas mm-hmm. together and met with him. And then let us just kind of get it off the ground. And hit the ground running? Yeah. Is that what we say?
Yeah. So I met Anne. Someone told me, you've got to talk to Anne, because I was struggling with this. And I had met no one who had struggled with infertility at that point.
Yeah.
And I remember we sat at a coffee shop and just had this conversation. And I remember feeling like I had been this dry desert, and it was just like this refreshing water yeah. pouring over me just from talking and hearing you cling to the Lord and your struggle. And I remember us talking about how what we had in that conversation was what we wanted to bring to other people feel like deserts, you know, and we want to be able to let them know that God can reach you, and that it's such a trap of the enemy to make you feel alone. And then mm-hmm. you hear how common it is. And right after we launched Hannah's Heart, it was funny how people came out of the woodwork mm-hmm. To message us, people that have been in my life my whole life that I didn't know about the loss that they'd had or how many years they'd been struggling. And even it's embarrassing to admit, but even people that I had been jealous about their life mm-hmm. over, and I didn't know the hurt mm-hmm. that they have. Mm-hmm. But I love that you mentioned to your listeners to stay tuned, because it's not just for people who struggle with infertility right. and miscarriage, because one of the things we want to do is help the rest of the world know, because it affects so many people, mm-hmm. how you can be sensitive and how you can help your church, how you can come alongside. And infertility doesn't just impact the couple that's going with it. Mm-hmm. It also impacts grandparents and entire families that are impacted by it. So we try to have a variety of different people on the show.
Yeah.
We've done episodes based on what not to say to somebody who's struggling. We had someone on recently that gave a bunch of great ideas for how to handle Mother's Day at a church because, you know, May is not that far away, y'all. And we have those Sundays where a lot of times they'll say, have all the moms stand up. And of course, now that I am a mom, I understand. Please give the kudos to the moms. Like, moms deserve kudos. But how painful that is when you're struggling with infertility or a loss. That can be such an excruciating day.
Well, and for a lot of churches, it's also baby dedication.
Yes, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. So it's like it's definitely a wonderful day to celebrate your baby's. So supportive of baby dedication. But when you're a mom longing to have a baby or wondering, will I ever be able to stand up? Or you've now had a miscarriage or two or three, do I need to stand up? Nobody knows about those. And so many things, you know, that are running through your mind. And like you've said already, like the enemy uses those to really make a spiral sometimes, you know. I decided, and I prayed about it. My husband was okay with it. For a few years, I did not go to church on Mother's Day because it did hurt that bad. And I didn't want to be an emotional wreck, you know, sitting in the congregation that day. So we would think of other things to do on Mother's Day that morning, you know, before celebrating our own mamas.
It got me on Father's Day because Mother's Day, I was like, you're good. I like prepared myself. I gave myself the pep talk and I like just stuffed all the feels. But then Father's Day, I didn't expect to feel anything. And then I was like, I want my husband to be a dad. He's going to be a great dad. But one of the guests on our program shared a great idea that I love for churches to, you know, find a way to include couples by, you know, saying if you would like prayer to asking God to open your womb and allow you to have a child, or if you suffered loss, we want to pray for you. And he said that every year, people that they've prayed over, by the next year, they've had more babies that have come and they've seen a lot of fruit come from that. And I thought that was a neat way to make people feel included.
Yeah.
Those are all great points and great things to think about how we can have a positive influence. And I want to go back to this what not to say, because, you know, there are very few people on the face of the world who think, oh, let me go inflict pain. Let me make this awkward. Let me say something really insensitive. Like, that's what I'd really like to do. They don't think that. But especially if you haven't walked that, they're well-meaning. They're well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, people do what people do when we feel awkward. We say insensitive things. So I would love for you to give our listeners some of that practical advice just so they can walk away with just a basic kind of starter kit of communication. Because there's some things that, like, it's not like, you know, that they are experiencing infertility, but, you know, maybe they've been married for a while. Mm-hmm. Why haven't you had kids yet? When are you going to have kids? You know, those kinds of questions. So let's start with what are things that you should be careful about not saying, and then if you don't know, or even if you do know, and then let's talk about what things are helpful to say.
So many. Why don't we go every other? Because we have like such long lists. You have one you want to start with?
Mine, which always got me because I had plenty of mamas to tell me this. Just take mine. Just have mine for the day. For some reason, that hurt because I was like,
I can't do that. Right, and you're not even being serious.
Yeah, that's exactly. You don't actually mean what you're saying right now.
I had a lot of people say, well, if, you know, for me, I struggled for like 2 months. And then when I finally learned to be content, it happened. And okay, so sometimes God does teach us contentment through infertility. I don't want to discount that. That's a lot of people's story, but don't make it seem like contentment is the key to unlocking children, because sometimes you can come to a place of, all right, Lord, I'm choosing to be content. And his answer is still no.
Right.
Also just adoption. A lot of people just will throw the adoption out. Well, you can always adopt. You can always do this. Not realizing that there's a cost to adoption, and also that adoption is beautiful, but we share this on the show a lot, that it is not a Band-Aid for the hurt of infertility. You have to grieve the loss of having biological children first before God can really lay that calling and open your heart to that. And so often God does, but it minimalizes that human desire to be able to experience the gift of life in your own body.
Right. And that is a desire. Even though I had Jane, and before her first birthday, I was already thinking I would not carry another baby. Mm-hmm. And you want to be it as a mama, or as a want to be mama.
Yeah.
You want to feel those baby kicks and what mm-hmm. that, you know, you hear, you grow up, you know, mm-hmm. can I feel the baby? You know, yep. all those kind of things. Another thing, she mentioned adoption, foster care. I had multiple people to tell us, like, well, just foster. And fostering is definitely needed. If anyone ever has any questions, I would be honored to answer questions about foster care. But is it a fix for infertility? It's not. You're literally taking care of someone else's children. You have to mm-hmm. go to court dates. You have to go to certain daycares. You know, there's mm-hmm. so many things. You have to go to visit. So they're going to visit their real mama, you mm-hmm. know? And so I don't understand why people say just foster, because it is definitely not something that's healing for infertility. Can the Lord mm-hmm. use it to bring healing?
Yes.
Of course he can.
You mentioned the question of, oh, when are you guys going to have kids? I know a lot of people just have curiosity, and you're excited for them, and you have kids, and so you want them to have kids. But just being careful how you bring up that conversation. There are other ways that you can mm-hmm. can lead into it. And ask them, you know, what their desires are. The one thing we have to be careful with in the body of Christ is not to elevate the status of motherhood to where you're not really a Christian until you're a mom. Like, you're not really doing the Lord's will. And motherhood is a genuine, pure calling that it is such a selfless thing. But I think sometimes we can talk about marriage and we can talk about children in a way that makes someone who is not at that phase of life feel left out and feel less than. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being able to, a lot of times you feel like, oh, well, you'll understand when you have kids. Like, yeah. oh, you'll know one yeah. day, as if, you know, my current experiences aren't valid, you right. know, and I don't have something to bring to this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I think this brings up an important point of just, we talk about valuing life mm-hmm. and that has so many complex meanings. So I'll share with you, mm-hmm. I shared, you know, that I have experienced pregnancy loss, and I also experienced difficult pregnancies, just random weird things that mm-hmm. were not connected, you know, mm-hmm. just every pregnancy I had was complicated in a very different way. And I remember one time a lady at church who was very well-intentioned and who I know loved me very much. She said, "Why do you keep trying to have babies? Your body is obviously not meant to do that."
Oh.
I know. And you know, oh, I man. Think, okay, unless Ouch. You are paying for these babies, if they are living in your house, you are the guarantor on their insurance. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just best to avoid things like that. Things, you know, yeah. yes, just don't say things like that. So things that you can say, I do want to leave our listeners with things you can say, you know, instead of saying, hey, when are you going to have kids? Just say, hey, what are your future plans look like? Mm-hmm. What are y'all yeah. working on?
That's right.
What are you working towards? You know, those kinds of things can be helpful. And in just the 2 minutes that we have left, what are a couple of questions that you would give our listeners to have in their back pocket to encourage a mom, an aspiring mom?
Yeah, I think if you know, so say you're friends with this person and you know that they're struggling, mm-hmm. like offer to go see them. Like, don't mm-hmm. let them be at home by themselves all the time. Or like, they, you know, as a person desiring to be a mama, my night isn't full, you know, of baths and soccer practice and, you know, things that it gets filled with children. And so, you know, make a point every few mm-hmm. weeks or so, like, let's go to dinner, let's grab let's go on a walk, you know,
yeah.
Things like that, just to know that mama is being seen, that void is being seen. I had friends that would say, hey, if you want to talk about it tonight, mm-hmm. we can. If you don't want to talk, like, because that's the other thing too, they don't have to talk about it all the time. You don't always want to talk yes. about fertility. There's other things to talk about, but like, just letting them know, like, hey, I have an open ear. Mm-hmm. You talk all you want. If you don't want to talk about it tonight, I'm good with that too.
How can I pray for you is a great conversation starter.
Yes.
And we've had, both of us have had so many people that have offered to pray for us, even listeners on Hannah's Heart. And that always is like a healing salve on mm-hmm. a wound when someone asks me that.
Absolutely. You are never going to go wrong by saying, I am praying for you. And
that's right.
You can even pray right there on the yes. spot, but just tell them, I'm praying that the Lord will meet you where mm-hmm. you are and meet the every need that he knows that you have.
Mm-hmm.
There is that. That is almost a fail safe. Well, thank mm-hmm. you so much for joining us today. I hope that you listen to Hannah's Heart. It is airing right here on AFR on Saturdays at 5 and Sundays at 11, or you can catch the podcast. We'll catch you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.